Good morning, everyone. I'm glad to be here today. Thank you for coming. We're starting a new series today, but I want to tell you a quick story. About 25 years ago, this is before the internet, before GPS and all that was on smartphones, I was working on a project for a client. And this client's offices were in a big office park, and it had a ton of buildings there, and people were having trouble finding this client's building. And so the client asked me to design some directional signs at all the entrances of this office park so that people, no matter what direction they came from, could find this office. And so at the time, I was already a pretty prominent graphic designer, and so I decided to get on this project, and so I designed these signs, and I talked to different manufacturers and figured out what kind of material I wanted to make them out of, and then I called the city and got the permits to put the signs up, and that went pretty smoothly. And then I decided how tall I wanted them to be so you could see them over the parking lot, you know, cars in the parking lot and the traffic and all that. And I even made the lettering on the signs. I designed to be reflective, so at night when you drove up to it and you shined your headlights on it, you could see the signs. And so, man, I had figured out everything related to this. Well, right before I went to see my client with all these designs, I got to meet a guy who was an expert in wayfinding. And I said, well, I'm going to run my designs by this guy who's an expert, and, you know, he's going to make any minor changes or whatever. Man, they're going to be perfect. And so I went and took these signs to this other designer, and he took one look at them, and he said, Gene, this is all wrong. This is not how you find a building. I said, what? What do you mean this is not how you find a building? He said, Gene, think about it. When you go to a shopping mall and you want to find the Macy's, what do? You drive around the mall until you see the building with Macy's on it, and you park there and go in the door. What if you want to find the emergency room at a hospital? You drive around the big hospital complex until you see the building marked emergency, and that's where you go. He said, Gene, the issue here is that to find the office building here, you don't point people to it. You mark the office building. The office building is the waypoint. You don't point people to the destination. You mark the destination. And I was like, oh my gosh, what an idiot, right? As soon as he said it, I saw it. And the reality here is that I had all the knowledge necessary to do what the client wanted me to do. He asked me to make some signs, directional signs. What I did not have was the experience to solve his actual problem, which is help people find our building. And this is one of those points early in my career where I began to realize the difference between knowledge and experience. See, this guy had been doing signs for 40 years, and he knew everything there was to know about wayfinding. The purpose of Friday Morning Men's Fellowship is to build relationships between men that allow us to pass on our experience, one man to another, one generation to another. And the word we use for this sometimes is mentoring. And it's one of the most powerful and valuable relationships you can have in your life. And our hope is that these relationships will help you to discover here at Friday Morning the important role that faith has in giving your life meaning and purpose. So my question to you today is, do you have a mentor right now? Have you had a mentor in the past? Maybe you're in a position to mentor someone else, or there's someone whose experience is of great value to you, and that's going to be a catalyst into growing you into the leader that you have the potential to become. So today we're starting a new short series, and we're calling this series The Power of And. The Power of And. And over the next few weeks, we're going to look at some of the mentoring relationships in the Bible. And we're going to see what these early mentoring relationships look like, and what a mentor specifically does, and how we can benefit from them today. No matter where you are in leadership, mentoring is something that you can draw on. And as you draw on the lives of other leaders who have wisdom that you don't, and you pass on your own experience to younger men, we're all being developed into better leaders as we go. So today we're going to look briefly at a relationship in the Bible, and it's between a man named Joseph and his father, who was Jacob. So you have Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. It's this lineage from Abraham that becomes the people of Israel, right? So Jacob's name is changed, actually, to Israel. And so this relationship is detailed in the book of Genesis. And I'm not going to read through it, but you know the basics here. Joseph was one of the youngest of 12 sons. And his father, Jacob, favored him. And his other brothers got jealous. The older brothers sold him into slavery and told his dad that he was dead. And Joseph then, through this long series of circumstances and challenges, he escapes slavery and rises to become basically the vice president of Egypt. He becomes Pharaoh's right-hand man. And on the surface, this does not look like a very good mentoring relationship. I mean, obviously, Jacob doesn't see Joseph for many, many years and believes him to be dead. But I want you to see that mentors do a variety of things for their mentees, and I want you to see one thing that Jacob does exceedingly well. And what Jacob does is he blesses his family. He blesses his sons. And this is one thing that a mentor does. He blesses the one he mentors. And what does that look like? Well, if we go in the Old Testament, blessing was a very, very big deal. When someone said they were blessed by God, it meant that they were in a position to receive God's provision and favor. Well, what do we think about today when we hear blessing? Today usually means we have good fortune, desired outcome. We might say, I'm blessed with good health. You know, I'm blessed with a happy marriage. I'm blessed with a great family. I'm blessed with a nice home. Well, I could say all those things. What about when something bad happens to us, though? What if my wife got cancer? Or what if one of my kids was in a car accident? Or what if I lost my job or business? Would I still be blessed? Right? Would we say that today? And we've got to understand that according to the Bible, a blessing is much deeper than just good things happening. When a man declared a blessing on another, it was to be consecrated, right? Set apart. A blessing was almost like an endowment. A blessing is declaring, I'm going to be an extension of the good that God does for you. By blessing you, I'm committing my effort for your good. So when a father blessed his son, he's telling him, I'm committing my effort for your good. So as a mentor, might you be a blessing in our current day? I want you to realize that the relationship of the mentor to the mentee is the blessing. The relationship itself is the blessing. By being a mentor, sharing your life and experiences, taking another under your wing, you are blessing them. You're declaring, I'm going to be an extension of the good that God does for you. There's undeniable value in spending time with someone, giving them your full attention, observing their life so that you can speak good advice into it. I had two of these meetings in the last week. I got to spend 90 minutes with Chris White on a project that he's working on. That was a blessing to me, just to have that audience, just for him to pour a little time into my life. Met with one of our men on Wednesday of this week who's going through some challenges in his life. And I was able to pour a little bit of my time into him. Have you ever been in a situation in business or a challenge in your marriage or a fight with your kids and thought, man, I wish I had somebody to talk to about this. I need some good advice. I need someone in my corner, but who's honest enough with me and trusts me enough to tell me what to do, even if I don't like it or agree with it. To have that relationship with someone is to be blessed. I mean, you never know how important a relationship might be to you personally or your organization. Now, Jacob and his sons could not have possibly known that a famine was going to come a number of years down the road and was going to leave the entire region without food. But God knew, and he was going to use Joseph to not only save Jacob and his family, but thousands of other lives. Did you ever stop to consider that the time and energy you invest in someone else's life as a mentor may help that person to have a profound impact in the world? That your purpose on earth might include not only doing something with your own life, but preparing someone else to do something with theirs. I mean, that was a guy named George St. John. Ever heard of George St. John? George St. John was a headmaster of a Catholic school in Connecticut in the 1940s and 50s. And he was very fond of telling the students on the first day of school, listen, this is your alma mater. And I want you to pour your life into this school while you're here. And I want you to ask yourself, not what this school can do for you, but what you can do for this school. Does that sound familiar? Well, it should, because one of the students at that school was a young guy named John Kennedy, who eventually became president. And at his inaugural address said, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. Well, that man was a mentor to John at a very young age. You can see where that rubbed off, right? I sometimes wonder when I see famous people, what was the relationship between Neil Armstrong and his dad? You know, did that mentoring relationship end up in him saying, you know, one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind? You never know where these relationships will lead. Well, Jacob was not a model father. We know that. We know he showed favoritism. And when he was young, he bought his older brother's birthright. And we do know, though, that he knew the importance of being a blessing and blessing others. You remember, Jacob even tricked his father Isaac into blessing him. But declaring a blessing in the Old Testament was such a serious and solemn affair that Isaac honored that commitment anyway. Or he didn't say, well, I was tricked into it, I'm not going to honor this blessing. He said, no, I'm going to do what I said I'm going to do. I want you to see something interesting in this story. Joseph, the son, he escapes being a slave and rises to power in Egypt. Through a series of dreams, he learns that there's going to be a famine. And he was able to prepare Egypt for that famine by storing up food for a number of years. And then the famine came, and it also hits Jacob and the rest of his family. And they all thought Joseph was dead. And so they go to Egypt looking for food. And they come before Joseph. And he tests them a little bit, but after a little while, he reveals himself and the family is reunited. And we read this account in Genesis 45 through 48. Joseph forgives his brothers and says, hey, bring dad and come here and live in Egypt. And then he utters that famous line, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. So Jacob, the father, comes to live in Egypt, and at this time he's about 130 years old. He says to Joseph, I never expected to see your face again, and now God has allowed me to see your children too. And then what does Jacob do? He blesses Joseph's children in a way only a father can. He says, may the God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked faithfully, the God who's been my shepherd all of my life to this day, and the angel who has delivered me from all harm, may he bless these boys. May he call them by my name and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and may he greatly increase them on the earth. And Joseph brought his brothers and father before the Pharaoh, and he got permission for them to settle in Egypt. Then the Bible says Jacob blessed the Pharaoh as well. Thanks, Pharaoh. Thanks for putting my son in this position. May you be blessed too. And he was. Jacob did not do everything right, but as a father and a patriarch and a mentor to these sons, he did at least one very important element of his role. He was a blessing. And we think Jacob lived with his family in Egypt for another 15 to 18 years. See, he knew what we were talking about today about being a mentor. The relationship itself was the blessing. So he didn't go back to his own land. He stayed there to be around Joseph and the family and close to all of his sons and share his experience and influence. And just before he died, he gathered all his sons around them, and he blessed them one more time. And those blessings are recorded, if you want to read it, in Genesis chapter 49. Then it says, Jacob finished giving his instructions to his sons, and he drew up his feet in his bed, and he breathed his last. Did you catch that? Jacob never stopped being a blessing. He never retired from that role. He continually declared his affection and his desire for good and his experience and advice to them for their ultimate benefit until his dying breath. Now, those of you in this room and watching me online today that are retired, let me challenge you. You will never have more experience and wisdom than you have right now to share. There is never a better time for you to be a blessing as a mentor than right now. So over the next few weeks, we're going to continue to see these other stories of mentors in the Bible. And each one had a unique influence on his mentee and brought something different to the role. In the story of Jacob and Joseph, there's power in the and. Jacob and Joseph. It represents that relationship between the two. Let me ask you this. Who is your and? Who might you be a blessing to? I hope you'll discover that as we walk through these lessons. I learned a lesson from a mentor many years ago when designing those signs. I learned that when someone needs the best directions, the solution is not to point them or give them arrows. The solution is to light up the destination and say, look, that's where you want to go. Right? And I hope we might each aspire to provide the answers to someone else's questions as we mentor them along the road of life. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for the gift of brotherhood. I thank you for the men in this room and the gift that they are to me pouring their advice and wisdom into me over these several years that I've been involved in Friday Morning Men's Fellowship. And I pray that I am also a blessing to others as I pour what I know into them, starting with my own son and daughters and family, and then extending out there to people I work with and people I know in the community and people here on Friday morning. God, I pray that you will continue to use Friday morning as an opportunity for men to grow in brotherhood with one another and in mentoring relationships so that they can be blessed and be a blessing to those around them. Guide us now in our time of discussion around our tables, and we pray all of this in your name. Amen. Thanks for being here. Enjoy your time at your tables today.